Well, good morning. We are glad that you're here today. Thank you for being here and worship with us. If you're watching online, we're so glad that you're here with us. And man, a lot happening here at Lee Point. And just make sure you get check in. Also, life group coming up in a couple of weeks. You got to sign up for a life group, our spring semester. It's a shorter semester, and then we'll take the summer off, and then we pick it back up in the fall. So if you're interested, join in. You can do that right here today on your connection card and all that good stuff. You go online, you can sign up online as well. And so we're glad that you're here. Thank you for being here. And it's been a great service this morning, and our first service, and a good crowd here this morning. And it was funny this morning, a lot of us came in with our coats. And I'm like, you know, by the end of the day, we're going to be taking that off today. I mean, it could be nice. It could be like in the 70s. I mean, come on, let's go. You know, it's what happens when you talk about fruit. You know, spring stuff, right? And so, you know, we're willing it, right? We're willing it to happen. But, man, that's what we're doing right now. We're in a series talking about walking through the most famous, the famous fruit of the Spirit. And we're talking about what that is. And last week we talked about this, that the starting point of this series is that there is a daily struggle. There are conflicts in our lives. You know, there's this capacity in each and every one of us, you know, to do good, and there's a capacity in each and every one of us to do bad. Someone once said, the line dividing good and evil runs through the heart of every person. Every person. And at any given time, you have in your heart the potential to go either way. Every one of us. And it's really kind of a sobering thought, right? But Galatians present this radical idea that the thing that determines which way you go, good or evil, is not based on how hard you try. But it's all based whether you connect yourself with the power of Christ. Last week, I shared this little poem, and I love this. It's the pull of sin is strong, but the living Christ is stronger. So open yourself to his Spirit, and you will bear his fruit. And that's what this series is all about. We're learning together how to open ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that we can bear the fruit of Jesus in our lives and to become more like him. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, it is singular fruit. That, you know, this is not a pick and choose. I like this fruit, and I like that fruit. I don't like that one. No, God wants all of us to embody all nine fruits here. One fruit. And so we see him here, the fruit of the Spirit in verse 22 is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And today, we're going to talk about joy. Joy. I remember back in August 2014. It's shocking to think that this happened almost 10 years ago. The funniest comedian of all time, in my opinion, Robin Williams. And in August of 2014, we get the sad news that he died. And I mean, this guy right here was a comedic genius. He was the Mork from Ork. Remember that? You know, I mean, this guy was a genius. But after his death, we found out that underneath his happy exterior, there was a deep sadness within. I'm reminded in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13, even in laughter, the heart may ache. And I think about how true that is, not just for Robin Williams, but we've all known people. We've probably been that person. We could be all smiles and laughters on the outside, but the truth is that we're not doing so well on the inside. Even in laughter, the heart may ache. And I think we can apply this principle to so many situations in our lives. Even in financial success, the heart may ache. Even in popularity, the heart may ache. Even when you're on a beautiful vacation, the heart may ache. In other words, good things happening on the outside don't guarantee joy on the inside. And on the flip side of the coin, just because you have hard things and painful things happening on the outside, it doesn't mean that you lack joy on the inside. Some of the most joyful people that I know live hard lives. So the question I want to present to you this morning is, how do you truly become joyful? How do we bear this fruit, the fruit of joy? C.S. Lewis, he wrote in his famous book, Mere Christianity. He said this, good things as well as bad, you know, are caught by a kind of infection. If you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. Then he said, if you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. You see, the kind of joy that the Bible teaches, that's something that you and I can manufacture on our own. We can't manufacture joy. We don't have the capacity in our own flesh to produce joy in our life. And so we have to figure out how to get so close to the source of joy, to God Himself, so that His joy can rub off on us. David, he said it like this in Psalm 16. He said, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. God is the source of joy, and we get it by being in His presence. Now, we got to understand this. A couple of thoughts here. Real joy is deeper than happiness. It's deeper than happiness. You know, you can be happy and not have joy. You cannot be happy. You may be grieving and still have joy. So happiness and joy are not connected. You know, happiness is based on circumstances. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. In fact, joy only comes from being near to God. And Jesus is spending time with the disciples right before He crucified in John chapter 15. And I want to read a passage of scripture because the rest of this message is really based on a passage. In John chapter 15, he's speaking into the disciples how you could be bearing fruit. And I like to think of this whole section of being fruitful and all the fruit of the Spirit. But there is a key verse, and we're going to see this at the end of this text, in a way joy really kicks in. But we're going to follow with me in John chapter 15 and verse number 1. It said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, you die. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burn. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory. This glorifies God, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. Here's the key verse. So I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete, so that your joy may be matured. The grapevine metaphor that we see here in the passage is biblically significant. In the Old Testament, the image of a vine is used to describe the nation of Israel. In several places, God says, hey, I planted this nation, the nation of Israel. This is my vine. Back then, if you wanted to have a relationship with God in the Old Testament, you have to get connected with Israel. But when Jesus came, something changed. Look what Jesus said in verse 1. He said, I am the true vine. In other words, Jesus came and he said, the people of God are no longer defined by a nation. He said, I am now the vine. And to be part of God's people means that you're connected to me. No matter what nationality you are, I'm the vine. And my people are like the branches that grows off that vine. And so that being said, and with that background, I want to give us two thoughts and then some takeaways to knowing this joy based on John chapter 15. Y'all with me? Let's dive in, okay? Number one, joy is not a feeling. It's a person. Joy is not a feeling. It's a person. The person of Jesus Christ is central to a life of joy. Jesus is the starting point for true joy. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're going to miss out on this fruit of the Spirit. You're not going to be able to produce joy on your own. Jesus is the source of true joy in your life. And it's the starting point. And so, joy is not just, the goosebumpy feelings, just, warm, fuzzy feelings. Joy is absolutely a person. John chapter 15, verse 11, I've told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And he gives us three things. Jesus here in the passage, three things to recognize the source of joy. It's all about getting close to the fire. You want to get wet, you got to get in the water. And here's how you do it. Number one, you got to depend on his power. Have to depend on his power, not your power, his power. Verse number 5, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You see, if your attitude and my attitude towards life is, hey, I got this. And if my approach to hard situations, hey, I'm going to dig deep in myself because I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. I'm educated. I'm successful. If that is your mindset going into life, then what Jesus is saying here in verse 5, hey, if that's the way you do life, independent and disconnected, then you, at the end of the day, can do nothing. Oh, you can do things, but it won't have lasting spiritual value If you want to bear any real fruit in your life, Jesus said, you will not do it apart from me. He said in verse 4, he said, remain in me as I also remain in you. Now, the key for us at branches, that we are to connect to the vine. We are to connect to him. We are to remain in him. The word remain, we see, you might have a Bible translation that says the word abide. You know, it can also mean to be connected or to stay connected. So my wife and I, when we lived in Pensacola, we built a house. Our very first house that we built in 2004. We got in, and then about 4 months later, hurricane season. And Hurricane Ivan. Ivan had a nickname, and that was called Ivan the Terrible, because it was a terrible hurricane. Category 3, high category 3, almost category 4 winds. And it was devastation. Category 4 storm surge. We had an Interstate 10 running through Pensacola. That runs from L.A. all the way over to Jacksonville, Florida. That runs through Pensacola. It crosses the bay, and the storm surge picked up that bridge and destroyed it. It made a complete mess of the entire town. People lost their homes. And fortunately, our home was okay. I mean, I remember we actually didn't know that night because we went to a shelter. You know, the shelter that we stayed in was supposed to protect us from the storm. It was falling apart. I mean, windows were coming in. You know, it was a mess. I remember one time I walked out the door in the peak of the storm. You know, it was 140-mile-per-hour wind, 135-mile-per-hour winds. And I look out in the big parking lot that we were staying at, and I look and I see the light hadn't, we still had power. It was still kind of flickering, and I noticed that there was a turtle, and it was being pushed by the wind, going 40 miles per hour, skipping along that parking lot. The fastest turtle I've ever seen. I mean, it could have taken on the tortoise and the hare. That story, it could have beat it could have taken care of that rabbit, no problem. I mean, it was fast. It was a mess. My wife and I, we get back to our house, after the storm was over, and we get there. And, of course, all of our trees were down. The house was fine. We praise the Lord for that. And I lost a few shingles, and we were one of the fortunate, lucky ones. A lot of people's trees were under the house. And we had all these beautiful live oaks, and we had one dead tree. All the live oaks, they fall down. But the dead tree, it stayed up. I mean, I couldn't figure that out. That's the one I wanted to take down, Ivan. Come on. So we had no power for 2 weeks. Fortunately, we were able to get a generator and were able to connect to a refrigerator and a radio. We had to figure out the antenna thing, try to find a radio station and maybe some lamps just to kind of get through. And we had no idea how long it was going to take. We didn't have an app that can say, hey, you can expect power to be restored. We had no idea. It's going to happen when it happens. 2 weeks. 2 weeks of no TV, 2 weeks of no air conditions. It was a rough life. It was rough. To use the language of Jesus, now a house for those 2 weeks did not remain or abide in the power grid. And we were disconnected, no power flowing in. And because of that, we hadn't, we weren't able to do all the stuff we normally had. We could almost say, apart from electricity, we can do nothing. Now, I know it's not the best illustration, but you get the point. if there's no power flowing in you, then there's no power that you're able to do. The source of life, the power that we really need, it comes from the one true vine. Just like a vine, just like a branch, you know, like a trunk of a tree, the sap and the fluids of that living vine, that trunk, it flows into the branches so that the branches can produce fruit. In order to get close to Jesus, we have to get connected to him. So how do we live this out spiritually? How do we depend on his power? Well, it's a mindset. It's an attitude. It's a complete dependence on Jesus. That's that mindset, that attitude, the complete dependence on him so that his life and his love flows through us. You have to depend on his power. You have to connect to him. Apart from him, you can do nothing. Connect to him, remain in him, then you can bear fruit. Here's the second practice that we see here about having joy. You've got to receive his word. You've got to receive his word. We see here verse number 7. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. The words of Jesus, right? The word of God needs to remain in us. And here's what that means for all of us, that we need to develop a habit in our life of regularly receiving and retaining the word of God. How are you doing on that? Now, I'm with a group of men, and every week we read 5 chapters of scripture a week. And every day we take that one chapter and we're reading. And we're meditating on that chapter. And then we journal. And I'm not a book here. I mean, I take about a third of a page and I write, hey, this is what it means back then. This is how it applies to me today. And then I do something that's very helpful. All of our guys are doing it. We'll write a one sentence prayer. And I'll type that out on my phone app so that I can constantly pray that prayer. It's short and it's easy to memorize. Here's a couple of examples of some of my prayers from the past few weeks. Lord, help me to wear a towel around my waist and look for opportunities to be selfless and to wash dirty feet. Lord, help me to trust you for your plans and not my plans. Lord, help me to trust and obey even when it doesn't make sense. And all of those were based on my scripture reading. The prayers are short and easy for me, and I focus on that, and it helped me to retain what I've read. And so when you're doing that, and it's a joyful thing, by the way. When you're doing that, you can walk. You're walking in alignment with God throughout your day. And so it's the word of God in you. Are you spending time in his word? Here's the third thing here. Got to obey his commands. Got to obey his commands. One thing to read it. It's another thing to do it. Jesus said in verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. If we want to remain in Christ and experience his joy, we have to do what he says. We can't claim to be remaining in Christ if there are obvious areas in our life that we're not letting go. Jesus says, hey, forgive your enemies. And we said, well, I'm not going to do that. And so we hold on to a grudge. We hold on to that grudge and you wonder why there's not joy in your life. Jesus said, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And you might say, well, you know, that was easy for Jesus to say back then, but Jesus doesn't live in Shelby Township now. Jesus doesn't live in our economy now. And so we hold back when it's time to give. And so, well, I got to be protective of my money. I got to watch it. You know, times are bad. And you wonder why you don't experience joy. Part of what it means to remain in Christ is to do what he says. Here's the question. You got to ask yourself the question. Is there an area of my life where Jesus has made God's will clear, but I'm resisting it? Let me say that again. Is there an area in your life, is there an area in my life where Jesus has made God's will clear, but I'm resisting it? Maybe it's a forgiveness issue, maybe it's a financial issue, maybe it's a sex issue, or a marriage issue, or an alcohol issue, or a drug issue. And by the way, I'm not saying, have you reached perfection in that area? That's not what I'm saying. I'm just asking if you have kept that area from God. Like, hey, God, this area is hands off. You can have everything else, but hey, this little part of my life, you can't touch. That's what I'm talking about. Is there maybe a place where you've got an opportunity to repent and let God's light shine into that dark place? You have to get, you know, for some of you, that may be the blockage, the barrier to the joy that God wants you to have. Because you won't let go of that area. If you want to get warm, right, you got to get near the fire. Now, some of you have been away from the fire. You've been away from time to get close to the fire, get close to the source of joy. I'm telling you, Jesus said, I'm telling you all this so that you can have my joy in you. Now, here's the second thought. Joy is cooperating with God's pruning. Joy is cooperating with God's pruning. Verse number two, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I'm not an expert on pruning plants and trees. I do not have a grand thumb. I know a couple years ago, I noticed that we had a nice little decorative tree in our flower bed in the front that needed a little pruning. And I didn't YouTube it. I just took out the shears, the clippers, and just started pruning. And I pruned, and I pruned, and I pruned, and I killed. I kind of defeated the purpose of pruning. And that tree eventually died and never restored. And so I'm not an expert on pruning trees. But I do know that, you know, that you have to cut off some of the growth. And when you do, that will maximize the growth. And not only maximize the growth, the quality of growth, the quality of fruit that you wind up with. And in order for our lives to produce quality fruit, there are times when God has to take out the pruning clippers, the pruning shears, and it hurts. But the surprising thing is that it's actually during those times of pruning and pain that you can experience the deepest joy. The half-brother of Jesus said in James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. He said, consider it joy when God pulls out the pruning shears. He said, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. He said, hey, you got to cooperate with the trial. You got to cooperate with the pruning shears. You will not develop any kind of maturity or growth in your character without the painful pruning of God. It's just the way life works. And when God starts cutting away at stuff, you have a choice. And the choice is you can resent and resist. Be angry at God and be mad about it. Or you can submit and consider it joy, because you know this is exactly how it feels when God is growing you. God, the heavenly gardener, he prunes and he prunes, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He makes no mistakes when he prunes. And he does it so that you can properly grow and produce the right kind of fruit. He does this. And so what does it look like? God may pull out the pruning shears and he might cut away a relationship. He might, God, why do you do that? I like him. I like her. Ow! But God says, trust me. He might cut away a job. I said, God, I need that job. I need that job to pay the bills. God, I don't understand. And God said, just trust me. God might prune away a deal on a home or a car at the last minute, the seller backs out. And you're like, God, what are you doing? And God said, just trust me. Trust me. You might have a health problem. Things were going well, and all of a sudden life is falling apart with your health. And God says, trust me. Trust me. See, the purpose for pruning, if you're taking notes, is for even more fruitfulness. That's the goal. That's what he's trying to do in your life. You may not see it in the moment, but that's the goal. And it's never fun, by the way. When you're going through the pruning, it's confusing. I've never met a person that says, man, it's pruning season. Woohoo! Nobody celebrates the pruning season. But the key to remember is that it's going to produce greater fruitfulness as a benefit to you. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, God, pruning sounds like punishment. It's not. In fact, if you take a note, don't confuse pruning with punishment. It's not. Here's the difference. Punishment is for the past. Pruning is for the future. Punishment is negative. Pruning is positive. In fact, if you ever go through a pruning season, it's not an if, it's a matter of when, but when you go through a pruning season, you should say, God, you should thank God. And say, God, I consider joy. I see that you're doing something in my life, and I want you to do what you need to do, what's best for me. And some of the most joyful people I know have had the hardest lives. It's not because they're living in denial. It's because they understand God's pruning. They understand that God has a purpose behind the pruning. and they know that it's going to end well. How about you? Maybe God has recently removed something from your life and it's hurt. Maybe your body is giving you trouble. Maybe you've got some really bad news. But my friend, those are pivotal times. And those pivotal times will help you determine what you believe. Because you have to decide whether you'll resent that thing or if you recognize that God is in it and cooperate and submit to his pruning. And that's the mindset that opens the door to joy. All right, takeaways, three thoughts, and we're done. If joy has been eluding you, how do you start? How do you get close to the warmth of the fire? Concentrate on giving, not getting. Concentrate on giving, not getting. The Bible says in Acts, it's more blessed to give than to receive. What are you giving in your relationships? What are you giving to your spouse? What are you giving to your friends? What are you giving to your kids? What are you giving in your relationship? What are you giving to God spiritually? What are you giving to God in the church? Are you giving of your time? Are you giving of your talents? You say, hey, I want to serve. Are you giving of your time and talents? Are you giving to God of your treasure? Are you faithfully giving God? It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, one of my favorite Sundays of the year, we do this every year, and if you've been around a while, you've seen this. But every year, we have what we call Greater Things Sunday. And our next Greater Things Sunday is on May 5th. And what we do is we raise a special offering that goes to greater things in our city. Support ministry outside of the Lake Point walls. We support church planting. We support Love for a Child, which is a foster care ministry. Joe Savali is going to be with us next week. You don't want to miss. And get to share what God is doing with Love for a Child. We support Peacemakers, which is a homeless ministry in Detroit. We support Barnabas Ministries, which is a ministry for pastors, four pastors in our area, and Pastor Doug Smith, a former retired pastor from Woodside. You know, he'll be here in a couple of weeks and talk about what God is doing in Barnabas Ministry. We support these things. We're supporting Compassion Pregnancy and Crossroad Pregnancy Center, two wonderful ministries. And so we'll collect that. And we have one big giant offering bucket up here. Offering on steroids, right? And everyone brings their bucket. By the way, if you don't have a bucket, you can still participate. If you want a bucket, you got one. We got a table out there. Grab a bucket. What we do is we put it on our countertop, and we put money in throughout the year. And then when it comes to that day on May 5th, we write a big check, and we give out of the generosity of our hearts. And everybody's sacrificing different ways, and we put our check in, and we pour in that big, giant offering bucket on May 5th. We get the kids are involved. And I'm telling you, it's one of the most joyful Sundays that we have. Last year, we raised over $40,000. That was huge. You did that. And my favorite check that I write is when I go to these ministries, the church planting, and I write a check and say, hey, from our church to yours, we love you. It's joy. So we've got a few weeks. Be praying about what that looks like for you. It's always cool. I see people bring their own little piggy bank, plastic bags. Some people just say, hey, I just got the check. It doesn't matter how you give. Give online. Grab a bucket if you want. We got those back there. And be a part of our annual opportunity to give. We get to do this. We get to do that. Concentrate, number two, on healing, not hurting. Some of you have been holding on to that grudge. Time to let it go. That forgive, the word forgive means to let go. That's what it means. To let go. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. You're never healed until you let go. So concentrate on healing. Some of you are miserable. There's no joy because you haven't let go. Here's the third thought, and then the third takeaway. Concentrate on God's power, not your problems. Concentrate on God's problems and not your power, not your problems. I love this. Psalm 62. It said, trust in him some of the time. No, he didn't say that, does it? It said, trust in him at all times. At all times. You see, my mind rushes back when I think about this. My mind rushes back to the Apostle Paul. He's in prison. And you know what he's doing in prison? He's not singing the blues. He's in prison. He pulls out a pen and writes a letter. And that letter is called the Book of Philippians. You know what the theme of Philippians is? Joy. 19 times, he talked about joy, rejoicing, 19 times. He is trusting in God, even in the most awful of situations. The circumstances did not call for happiness. Damp, disease-infected prison. And yet he still found joy. You know, it's great to know that the Lord Jesus Christ can use anything. The good, the bad, the mediocre times of our lives, and use it for his good. He's working in your life. The pruning, he wants you to remain in him, depend on his power. He wants you to remain in his word, obey his command. Get close to the fire and trust in him at all times. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you, help us today. Help us to have joy. It's not something we can manufacture within us. It's all about us drawing close to you. God, help us to depend on you. God, help us to remain in your word. Obey your word. God, help us to cooperate and submit to the pruning shears, the clippers. Because God, you never make a mistake. You know what you're doing. And we consider it joy, even during the difficult times of our life. So God, help us produce, oh Holy Spirit, produce this beautiful fruit of joy that we can live 24/7, no matter what's going on in the outside, the good, the bad, and anything in between. Help us to live a life of joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.